The Celtics put up another stinker. Kemba Walker gets tossed, and you'll hear his side of the story. It's the Locked On Celtics podcast. Millie's, let's go. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. Thursday is here, your work week is almost over, and I, John Corrales, will help you get through the rest of this day. Somehow, we'll talk a little bit here about the Boston Celtics' loss to the San Antonio Spurs, 129-114. It sucked. It sucked. Later on, I'll talk about the Kemba ejection in the second segment. The third segment will be Kemba's reaction. So I'll spend the first segment here just talking about the game. I'm not going to spend the whole damn podcast talking about this crappy game because it doesn't deserve that. The Celtics came out and played like crap. They looked horrible. They couldn't hit shots. They couldn't hit open shots. For the second game in a row, they just couldn't make open shots. It's as simple as that. The first quarter boiled down to the Boston Celtics getting wide open shots and then missing them, and San Antonio getting out into transition, and the Celtics not really doing much to stop it. So really, you have the impact of the Celtics missing affecting their defense in two ways. One, hang your head, get back. Like I've said multiple times in this podcast, many times over the years. You miss a shot, you come back, God, what the hell? And then you miss a rotation or you don't even get back or you're confused or lost on defense and you get beat, you get burned. You cause the defense to fall apart. Or you're running back and the Spurs are just getting into transition and kind of burning you, and let's see, you just give up a run. Gordon Hayward kind of summed it up perfectly because I asked him about this whole effect after the game, and he said, like, you miss a shot, and especially when you're missing threes, because long shots tend to have long rebounds. So you miss those shots, they get the ball, they're moving towards their basket, you're on your heels, they're getting out into transition, and they have an opportunity there to, even if it's not a fast break point, to get you on cross matches, to get mismatches, to get you confused. And so it's not a fast break point, but it might as well be almost, because they get where they want to go against the confused defense and they score. The Spurs had 50 points in the paint, 5-0, 50 points in the paint. That is bad, bad for the Boston Celtics. So you look at the first quarter of this game, the Celtics shot 8 of 20 and 4 of 11 from 3. Now, 4 of 11 from 3 is actually not bad, but missing 7 three-pointers and missing 12 shots overall, that's part of what led to the Spurs building a 34-22 lead, which really, it felt worse. The Spurs, meanwhile, hit 16 of 25 shots. They actually shot worse from 3, 2 of 8, but they hit 14, of 17 shots from 2. Wow. 14 of 17 shots from 2. That's amazing. I didn't even know that stat. Looking at the box score. That's crazy. DeMar DeRozan hit all three shots that he took. Trey Lyles, DeJounte Murray. Some of them were contested. But getting to spots on the floor where guys are comfortable shooting And whether you contest or not, if it's not a really strong contest, then they're gonna hit shots. And these guys are all comfortable in that mid-range. In the second quarter, DeRozan took over. 4 or 5 shooting in the second quarter for 9 points. And the Spurs outscored the Celtics 31-25 in the second quarter. Meanwhile, 2 of 10 from 3 for the Celtics there, 9 of 25. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown combined for 1 of 11 from 3. Celtics just not going to do it. It's not going to get done if those two guys are both kind of off. Kemba's going to have a big night. Gordon's going to have a big night. Kemba was already on a minutes restriction. He only played 18 minutes before he got tossed. He had 6 points and 4 assists in those 18 minutes. So he wasn't exactly going off. And Gordon Hayward didn't start to get going until later in the game. Third quarter is really when he emerged. In the third quarter, he had 9 points on 4 of 5 shooting. He had 18 overall, 3 assists, 3 rebounds. Not a bad individual performance, but not the type of performance that the Celtics are going to need if Tatum and Brown are off. So, again, you get the point. These guys, poor shooting. Tatum and Brown combined for 10 for 30 from the field. That's bad. And so was that 33%? Marcus Smart was not good in this game. 3 of 10, 2 of 7 from 3. He has spent time over the past couple of games forcing a lot. And I feel like Marcus Smart has regressed a little bit. He just like almost literally went blind. So I don't know what his mindset is, but the Marcus Smart that has returned is a little too much like the Marcus Smart from last year or even before that. Way too willing to shoot, way too willing to take these threes. 2 of 7 from three is just too much. And he's just been trying to force the issue a little bit. Maybe he's trying to make up for what Kemba isn't bringing or wasn't because he was out. I don't know. I really don't know. But the Marcus Smart from October, November was awesome because obviously he's making shots, and it's awesome when you're making shots. And the defense he was playing, I mean, he was playing at a really, really high level. And he's still playing at a pretty high level, but the past couple of games, he's really been forcing a lot on offense, and that's not where he's at his best. If he's playing, if he's shooting the ball, then he's going to be coming off the ball, not handling it, coming off of, you know, maybe some overflow offense and getting these open shots. I think if he's trying to force a little bit too much, then that's not the proper mentality for Marcus Smart. I trust him to kind of get out of that and see exactly how he's playing right now. But once Kemba is kind of back and feeling 100%, I mean, he said Kemba after the game, you'll hear it later as part of his media availability, that he lost some weight because he was, you know, in bedridden for a couple of days. I mean, he really was knocked off his feet with this flu. So this is a little bit of a slow comeback for him. Just the entire team was off. There's really not much you can say. Daniel Tice had a pretty decent game. Taco Fall got in the game. I will just mention Taco Fall. He didn't suck. Okay. He was not great, but he didn't suck in those second quarter minutes. He clearly is slow, and I think it's pretty obvious that he's not ready to be a full-time NBA performer just yet, but he set picks. He tried to be where he was supposed to be on the floor. He deterred some attacks from the Spurs. So, I mean, when he was on the floor, the Celtics kind of played the Spurs kind of even. So, just shout out to Taco Fall for, look, first meaningful minutes. There are not very many high expectations there. So, you know, just wanted to mention that. I don't know what else to say about this game. It sucked. What more can you say about a team that comes out and misses a ton of shots and gives up a ton of comfortable shots and really doesn't start defending until the third quarter? Meanwhile, by the way, I should mention, the third quarter, the Celtics got this thing down to 7 points. Like, after all the crap that I talked about, they got it down to 7 points, and the ejection happened. And the ejection just shut the lights off, took away all of the momentum, all of it just sapped from the team. The Spurs got 5 free throws, made 4 of them, and the entire momentum changed. I want to take a break there and come back and talk about the entire ejection, that wild scene that I saw firsthand and was very confused by. And so let's take a break, come back. That's next here on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
The Celtics were down 20 in the third quarter, 69-49. And then they went on a run. And they got it to 76-69, 7-point game. And then Kemba Walker is hit with a screen by LaMarcus Aldridge, and Walker didn't like the screen, and he got up, he yelled at Evan Scott, the official, 2 technical fouls, boom, done. In the midst of it, Brad Stevens is losing his mind, and he gets a technical foul, and meanwhile, the Spurs actually drew a foul in that whole mess, and they got 2 free throws out of it. Now, I don't know if that was a shooting foul or if the Celtics were in the penalty. I think they might have been in the penalty at that point. Not sure. But point is, 5 free throws. They made 4. It went from 76-69 to 80-69 with no time coming off the clock. So it went from a 7-point game to 11-point game, and the wheels fell off after that. The Spurs they just wouldn't miss. It went back to the same stuff I was talking about in the first segment. Now, Kemba got hit with that screen. Was the screen illegal? Might have been. I've seen worse screens not called illegal. I've seen better screens called illegal. So it's debatable. It looked like LaMarcus Aldridge extended his arms a little bit there. So if they had called it a foul, sure. If you want to argue adamantly that it was, okay. If you want to argue adamantly that it wasn't, fine. I don't care. I think it was a borderline illegal screen. I think Kemba might have sold the flop there or whatever. I don't think the screen was so hard that it should have knocked him off his feet. Maybe he was off balance. I don't know. So he thought he was fouled, and he thought it was an illegal screen. The next step. What did he say to the ref? I don't know what he said to the ref. You look at the replay. Are there F-bombs in there? Sure. There are some things in there I can't decipher. The 2 technical fouls came so quickly that I'm not sure that Kemba really had enough time to cool off or was given enough time to kind of back off. Unless Kemba said some sort of magic word. And according to the officials, the crew chief Rodney Mott after the game said he was assessed the technical for using profanity. Well, guys use profanity all the time, so that's not right. If D says he was using profanity directed at Evan Scott, well, was he saying something personal? After the game, he said he wasn't saying anything personal. Again, after the break coming up, you'll hear him, Kemba, explain his side of the story. But for now, he says he wasn't saying anything personal. So one technical foul on Kemba, I can understand. The second one I thought came too quickly. Like they just, that escalated so fast that I don't think the effect of the technical foul was allowed to take hold. Why does a referee give a technical foul? Supposed to be a special kind of foul that you give somebody to kind of diffuse situations. You're supposed to look at a guy and be like, tech, boom, that's a punishment. It's almost like a warning. Shut up. Don't keep going. All right. Now, Evan Scott, I believe, is the youngest official or one of the newest officials. He's young. Okay. I think that might be part of it. I think he kind of got caught up in the moment and either didn't like Kemba's posture or what. I don't know. Again, without knowing the exact words that Kemba said, if Kemba used a personal kind of directed, derogatory, profanity type of thing, other than F you, which might be enough for some guys. I don't think that's quite enough, especially after you've given one foul, one tech. But unless he said something personal, that one tech should be enough. And you look at Kemba and you say, calm down, because there's another tech coming if you're not. And you give him the opportunity to back off. All right. When we talk about referees deciding games, I don't think officials, when they decide to call fouls or not call fouls at the end, are deciding games. Like, I don't buy that whole thing about all of a sudden officials swallow their whistles down the stretch of a fourth quarter because you got to let the players decide the game. No, you still have to officiate the game and call fouls when they're committed. But throwing a star player out at that point in time was a very big decisive moment in the game. I mean, the evidence is there. The Celtics cut the lead to 7 after they were down 20 just moments before. Over the course of about 4 minutes, they cut that 20-point lead to 7, and they had momentum, and all of a sudden that was taken away. So the referee did make a deciding choice. It was a pivotal moment in that game. So I don't agree with how that second technical was issued. And then the other referee swooping in to give Brad a tech, I don't know. I'll be honest with you, when I first saw it happening, I was a little confused because Jason Tatum had just stolen the ball and I was looking down at my computer looking for a Greg Popovich quote from pregame where he talked about how Jason Tatum can be one of the league's few true two-way players, which is a hell of a compliment. So I was looking in my email for that quote after that. So I didn't even see the original screen. I had to watch the replay in press row. I had to watch the replay to see exactly this, what happened, what transpired. So it all happened so fast that I look up and I turned to Tom Westerholm, who's sitting to my left. I said, did Brad just get tossed? And he said, no, Kemba just got tossed. I was like, for what? But in that madness of three technicals being called, then an asshole fan throws a beer, a full can of beer. I don't know where a can came from. It may have come from, I don't know, was it from a luxury box? Was it somebody who got there? Is there a stand somewhere that has cans that you can buy, full cans, instead of putting it in plastic cups? Because one thing, if some idiot wants to throw a plastic cup full of beer somewhere, which, again, I do not condone at all. That is not, but at least it's not a dangerous projectile. That thing I saw fly from somewhere in the upper loge, and it just barely cleared the Spurs bench. That could have been so, so, so much worse. I do want to just be clear here that that person First of all, he got arrested. I'm assuming it's a he, got arrested, deservedly so, because that could have been a very dangerous situation. If that had hit a Spurs player, oh my God, that would have been one of the most horrible things that could have happened in an NBA game. Like, we are this close from Malice in the Palace type stuff. Now, I'm not saying the Spurs would have jumped into the stands, but that would have been the comparison. That would have been one of the, like, a major national story. Okay? We just barely missed this Boston crowd being a major national story. Okay? That's going to be kind of glossed over. The fan throwing that beer is kind of going to get glossed over, but that was extraordinarily dangerous. And I want to condemn that asshole in no uncertain terms. That person, and Brad Stevens said it too after the game, that person got arrested. Good. That person should be banned for life from the Garden. Forget it. You've lost your privileges. Throwing a full beer, that's just dumb. So that whole thing happens. So there is some fault for Kemba, for sure. He probably shouldn't have reacted the way he did. He should have calmed down. And I don't know what he said, but maybe a poor choice of words. The official, for sure, overreacted. I believe that he had that second tech was a quick trigger. And I will throw the caveat in there, unless Kemba said something personal. After that, things got so out of control, and with the fan thing, getting that sorted out, the entire momentum and everything fell apart from there. What happens next for Kemba? I don't know. There may be a fine. The language directed towards a ref. I'm sure with the ejection comes some level of additional punishment. I don't think there's any sort of suspension or anything like that. Guys get ejected all the time. I don't know. Is there a possibility that one of those texts gets rescinded? Possible. That would be an interesting turn of events. But I think at the worst case scenario, Kemba probably gets hit maybe with an additional fine, or maybe nothing else happens. I don't know. So that's the entire ejection. After the break, Kemba Walker, I'll play you what Kemba Walker had to say, and then quick reaction after that. So stick around for that next on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Okay, here is Kemba Walker after the game in front of the media. I'll play the whole thing because mixed into it, there are some other questions, but I will play the entire thing from Kemba Walker. It was about 4 or 5 minutes or so, and I'll react to that afterwards.
Don't you?
First ejection of your career. Can you take us through the situation from your vantage point?
I thought I was being nice. But, you know, I mean, I thought the ref missed the call. And, you know, just voiced my opinion a little bit. The rest was history.
Have you done much more than that and not gotten tossed?
I don't know. I mean, I guess tonight he felt that's a little bit too much. So, you know, it was his choice. Obviously, it's all those guys to make those decisions. So, he made it.
You come back and watch it. What kind of effect did that have on this game?
What was that?
What kind of effect did that moment have on this game?
Not a good one. You know, I wish I obviously didn't get ejected because it definitely you know, just, you know, swung the game, you know, right back into their favor. You know, we were definitely making a run and, you know, on our way back. know, after that little incident, you know, things kind of didn't go the right direction.
Did you see the beer get thrown, and what was your reaction when that happened?
I didn't see nothing. I don't know. No.
How are you feeling?
I'm fine, you know. Happy to be back. I'm definitely excited to, you know, be with my teammates again. I got a little ways to go individually. I'm just trying to get myself back as far as rhythm and even, you know, my wind. You know, I lost a little bit of weight as well, you know, from the sickness. So, you know, I got a little ways to go, but like I said, I'm really just happy to be out there to make my teammates.
Was it the flu?
It was, yeah.
Kimmett, do you feel like you should get a little bit more leeway to voice your displeasure with the call?
I mean, it's the first time I've ever been ejected in my whole life, so I am a two-time sportsmanship award winner as well. So maybe I should get a little leeway. I watch a lot of basketball. I see other guys do a lot worse, but like I said, the choice was his. He made it, you know. He got me out of there, and, you know, what can I do? You know, just look. Just really just forget about it. At this point, you know, we lost. You know, I got ejected, and now we got another one tomorrow. You know, just trying to go out there tomorrow and, you know, see what we can do, you know, against a very tough team and try and get a win.
Ken, the general kind of rule is if you talk about the call, you're okay, regardless of what you say. But if you get personal, that kind of can...
I have no idea. I don't know if I got personal. I ain't get personal.
Yeah, it seemed like you talked about just the call.
Well, I was just upset with the call, yeah. I mean, I would never get too personal. You know, it's not that serious. Just try to keep it basketball for the most part. I mean, I definitely said a few bad words, but, you know, I mean, yeah, nothing personal towards him, you know, as an individual.
Is that the first time you've seen Brad Stevens that fired up?
I don't know. I didn't see him. I was fired up myself. I didn't see too much, so... Yeah, I'm not sure.
I love the fact that he was like, I thought I was being nice. First of all, shout out to Marcus Smart, who in the back said before the scrum, said free Kemba and lightened the mood a little bit. I thought that was funny. Now, Kemba insists that he didn't say anything personal. So there, somewhere along the way, somebody's not being genuine. Either Kemba is saying something, maybe he said something worse than he's letting on, or the official overreacted. And we'll see. I don't know if something's going to come out, if there's going to be a camera angle that shows what he said or anything like that, or if it's just never going to come out. Who knows? But Kemba swears he didn't say anything personal, that it's not that serious. You know, I believe him. I don't know. Maybe one guy's idea of not something personal is another person's idea of it actually being personal. So that's what Kemba had to say there. I thought it was hilarious that he said, I'm a two-time sportsmanship award winner as well. That was pretty funny because that was obviously my question about should you get a little bit more leeway when you're arguing a call, which is always kind of a little bit dicey because... How much leeway do you get? That's you can't just say, hey, I'm Kemba Walker, so I should be allowed to yell a little bit more. Although I know your reaction is probably like, well, LeBron gets to yell a little bit more. Other guys get to yell a little bit more. Draymond Green gets to yell a little bit more. Draymond Green gets to yell a lot more. He probably said worse things than Kemba did, but how often does he get ejected? I don't know. Maybe because Kemba's such a nice guy that when things happen like that, it's such a shock that he gets tossed. I don't know. But something there wasn't communicated, whatever. So that's Kemba's reaction. We'll see what comes out of it. I don't know if anything will or not. Celtics, meanwhile, play Philly later on tonight, Thursday night. I'm going to wrap this podcast up. I got to get to bed and get up and catch a flight to Philly so I can be there for Celtics Sixers. No Joel Embiid for that. I'm assuming all of the Celtics are going to be available. Maybe not Romeo Langford. I don't know. But I'm assuming there's not going to be some kind of crazy suspension or anything like that. So Celtics Sixers Thursday night. You get to move on real quick. See if the Celtics can come out to a better start than they have over the past few games and snap out of this funk. I hope you are enjoying the podcast and enjoy it enough to subscribe if you're a new listener. If you're a regular listener, hope you enjoyed it enough to give me that 5-star rating and give a good written review. Always helps attract new listeners, which always helps my bottom line. So really appreciate you doing that and telling everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.